Thank you very much for coming tonight, brothers and sisters. May the Lord undertake for us, and that he would get all the praise and he would get all the glory. I'd like you to come with me to something I've done a few weeks back, and the Song of Solomon. I want to take a couple of verses from the Song of Solomon, please. Ecclesiastes and then Song of Solomon. And a couple of verses I'd like to take from here is verse 8, please. Verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh. He leapeth upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind a wall or wall. He looketh forth in the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over, and is gone. These are the words that I was reading when thoughts were given to me about the gospel message. As you know, in Song of Solomon, it's King Solomon is writing these songs. It's the picture of a bride and a bridegroom. And we know as the bride and the bridegroom is the church, and the bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I would like to continue from this reading tonight. Behold, he cometh. Behold, he standeth. Behold, he looketh. And behold, he speaks. These three verses, cometh, stand, and look, and speak. The day of the Lord is not to be confounded with the day of Christ. It refers to the Lord's return in the air, called the saints home to be with him and to be rewarded according to those their faithfulness. The day of the Lord is the judgment of the earth and the world. And there is judgment coming. And we find that Solomon was very conversant with every subject of the song, as with all trees, living creatures. I'd like you to come with me to 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verse 32, please. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. That's all that he had written. And out of these 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005, this is the only one that was brought to be used in Scripture. In the Song of Solomon. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree and the Lebanon, even unto hyssop, the spring that springeth out of the wall. He speaketh also of beasts and of the fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And they came all of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, for all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. So he was a wise man, but we know he had his problems as well. The same as we all have our problems. Even when we're saved, we have our problems. The old man's still in us, even in Christ. So the lily of the valley is the blood red flower. It speaks of our Saviour and Lord. Ironside says that the bride and the bridegroom is used frequently in Scripture. And as there in the Old Testament, the bridegroom rejoiced over the bride. The New Testament, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and clean and cleanse, and it's cleansed it by the washing of the word. That's how we come to be saved. That's how we come to know that we're sinners, because we have to do something with ourselves. Scripture tells us that we're sinners and we're condemned and unclean, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friend, you might say to me tonight, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm all right. I don't do the same as that fellow here. And you talk about a Christian, I don't do what he does. It doesn't matter. What he does is wrong, he'll be answered for it. But if you're not saved tonight, if you die in your sin, you go to a place called hell. And there's no way out of it. Salvation is of the Lord and of no other. So in Isaiah chapter 62, I'd like you to come along with me to Isaiah as well. This is God's word, this is not my word. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4, just to get the connection. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hismerah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. This was Elias talking about the restoration of Israel. You know, Hispiah means my delight in her. And Beulah means married. It's like a wedding. And that's what the church and the Lord Jesus Christ is like, a wedding. It's like a marriage. The Lord gave himself for it. And that one day he's coming back to take his church home with him. And if you're not part of the body of Christ, you'll not be going home with them. They're going to another place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. So he cometh. Thessalonians 5 and 2. But times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Listen to it. He's speaking to believers. But times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's speaking to believers. I'm speaking to you tonight. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not saved. He'll come like a thief in the night. Just like a thief, you could be lying in your bed and they clean you. You'd be left with nothing. He'll come just like that. 2 Peter tells us in 3 and 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Why are we telling you of these verses? Because there's judgment coming. Remember, God created everything by his word, and his word holds it together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. His word caused the flood. Genesis 6 and 9. And his word will one day bring judgment of fire to the ungodly world. 2 Peter 3, 7 and 10. Revelations 16, verse 15. Behold, as I come as a thief, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Talking again to believers as well. There's a message for believers as well. It's not one way tonight, brothers and sisters. Not one way tonight if you're not saved. He cometh. What was the other one? He standeth. Revelation 3 and 20, 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that cometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. The Lord was outside the church and he was knocking to get in. The Lord is knocking in your heart's door tonight, looking in. He's maybe been trying to get in many a time and you've rejected him. He's knocking tonight. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him, and he with me. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and him that come unto me I will no wise cast out. He standeth. He cometh, he standeth, and he looketh. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Why would the Lord say that? Why would he ask you to be saved? Look unto me, and be ye saved. You or them? All. Everybody. And be ye saved, for I am God and there's none else. John 3 and 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. John 12 and 32 and 33. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny, long, long before earth was created. God had planned it. Because God can foresee everything. Knows what we're thinking this minute. Knows what you're thinking as you listen in. He knows what you're saying and what you're doing. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. There's nowhere else you can go to. A priest will not help you. A minister will not help you. A pastor will not help you. I can't help you. Nobody can help you. Only this, the Word of God. We can only point you in the right direction. I mentioned this morning in the Numbers. When they sinned against God in the wilderness, there was serpents sent out. And those that got stung. They were not told to fight. And they were not told to pray. They were told to look. Look. Some of them were stung and bitten. But they never looked. Some of them looked. And they didn't die. What way are you looking tonight, friend? They were told to look at the pole with the brass serpent upon it. And those that were bitten would live. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. It came short of the glory of God. Look tonight at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him as he hung upon that cross and died for sinners condemned and unclean. For we've all sinned and came short of the glory of God. There's nobody that came into this world that was sinless, only him. Neither stain, spot, nor blemish. The little wee baby that comes in, that we pass round and we gloat over, is a sinner. Is a sinner. And we'll go up loving his son, as we all did. But it's only for a season. God says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cometh, he standeth, he looketh, and he speak. Scripture says, no man spake like this man. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you think your good works will get you there, not by this scripture. For by grace you are saved through faith, is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. None of works, lest any man should boast. So your works will not get you, because you'll boast about it. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Friend, tonight you've been warned that you need to be saved. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you're tired listening to it. But friend, if you reject it, it's you that will answer the consequences. Just come with me to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. That's why we're preaching the gospel. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Have you listened to it? And you haven't done anything about it, then you haven't believed it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have ye not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. This word will go through the whole world tonight. For anybody that wants to hear it. But I say, did not Israel know first? Did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by the foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found on them that sought me not, and I was made manifested unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Yes, speaking to Israel, speaking to you tonight. He's been speaking to you maybe for years, and you've done nothing about it. Are you going to wait till it's like a thief in the night? You'll find yourself in a place where you wouldn't want to be. Salvation is free. There was a price paid for it at Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to that tree. And when he cried, it is finished, and gave up the ghost. He was buried according to scripture. And he rose the third day according to scripture. Now he ascended up into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding to those that are saved in the body of Christ. Friend, you could be that tonight by just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour. On May the 13th, 1828, was a young man called David Mark. He was 15 years of age. He stopped in a wee town in Ancaster on Ontario, and a small crowd gathered round. And he asked them, he says, "Would anyone like to hear preached a text of any kind?" And a man mocking him said, "Nothing." This is what the young man said. He began preaching on nothing. God created the world from nothing. God gave us the laws in which there is nothing unjust. We have broken God's law, and there's nothing in us to justify us. There'll be nothing to comfort sinners in death or in hell. But while Christians have nothing of their own in which to boast, we have Christ, and in him we have nothing to cause us grief, nothing to disturb our peace, and nothing to fear in eternity. That was some spake from a young man of 15 years of age. And David, when he was to return, came back through the same town, and this time there was a bigger crowd, and he got a bigger hall. He got the meeting house. And this time he preached something. He said, "There is something above all things. There is something in man designed to live forever, but there is also something in us that makes us unhappy. There is something about the gospel that reverses our unhappiness. Something that gives us hope. There is something that will disturb the impediment in death, but something resigned in Christians that the world can't understand. And there's something in eternity to give us everlasting joy." Friend, tonight, what have you got? Have you got nothing? Or have you got something? It's your choice. Our lives is always guided by the choices we make. Sometimes we make the wrong choices, sometimes we make the right choices. But this choice that you make tonight, if you reject Christ, friend, you'll die in your sin, in hell. Paul could say in Romans, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor the height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a saviour. Have you got him? Or have you rejected him? We have him. We have him tonight. Because just like the Shulamite woman, when he's seen the bridegroom, he's seen him coming. And she's seen him standing. And she's seen him looking. But it's when she's heard him speak, "Come away with me." And there's a day coming where the Lord Jesus Christ will come and say, "Come up." Where will you be when he says come? I pray you'll take the Saviour tonight. The hymn book says, "Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace has bestowed it, since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." That's all we are. Sinners saved by grace. I pray you'll not be foolish, as it says in the second verse here. "Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. To Jesus I has found me, and happy I kept my case, and now I'm a sinner, saved by his marvellous grace." Friend, tonight, the gospel is simple. It's easy understood. You either accept or reject. You either believe or disbelieve. You either shut your ears or open them. Don't be like the people that were bitten by the snakes. All they had to do was look. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Friend, tonight, I pray you'll take the right choice and you'll accept my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in the Saviour's love and precious name. Amen.